Item 23, discussion and possible action on adoption of new interruptible water availability agreement form and determination of water available for 2008. David?
Mr. Chairman and directors, this is an action item. We want to present to you a new contract form that's going to consolidate and streamline some of our water contracts, some of our lines of business. And it's essentially a three-part presentation. I'm going to start off and present the need to you for the contract, and then Jason Frizzell, our staff attorney, is going to stand up and present to you the contract form itself. And then in conclusion, I'll present to you the staff recommendation on determination of a new term, interruptible water, for the coming calendar year. So with that, let me start off with the need for the contract form. And to do that, we need to step back and talk about the two types of water that we sell. And under our long-term water availability contracts, that water that we sell to those is based on a number of things. First of all, it's based on our permit conditions from the state, but it's also based on future conditions. And by future conditions, I say that on this watershed protection programs that we have ongoing in different places, like Jay just talked about, one of the things that moves downstream is sediment. And so in designing a reservoir, there's volume left in a reservoir to accumulate sediment so that it doesn't affect the long-term yield of the reservoir. So we sell water on those future conditions, assuming the sediment accumulates over years and years. What that means is today we have volume available in the reservoir that we haven't been selling long-term water against under our long-term water availability agreements. So that's called sediment pool water, and we also have been selling that under a contract form called short-term water for up to a five-year term. We also have been selling one-year water, and the reservoirs are designed to meet drought conditions year after year after year after year. And droughts last significant serious droughts last for a long period of time. The reservoirs can get us through those droughts. So if we don't use water this year, that's water that could have met the needs through a significant drought with high water demands. That water is then actually available for the following year. And we've been selling water in another contract form called one-year water since the early 1990s. So both of those, the short-term water and the one-year water are differentiated from our long-term contracts. What I want to talk today is this: the idea of short-term contracts and one-year contracts. And those two contract forms have had varying rates. They have varying levels of interruptibility. They can be terminated or stopped based on some different criteria. And then there's also been a prioritization for renewal that differs between the two contract forms. So that's created some confusion with our customers. And what we want to do is combine those together into a single contract form called interruptible water. And we use the term interruptible basically just to distinguish it from our long-term system water availability agreements. And then also this would give us a tool ultimately to sell water under our SysOps permit application, the appropriation, where we've actually also applied to the state for some other water that we don't have appropriated yet would also have some interruptible characteristics to it. My last comment before I turn it over to Jason is just let me point out that the determination of water that would be made available under this interruptible contract would continue along. Essentially how we've been doing one-year water is we would come to you in October and make a determination for the following year, for the following calendar year, how much water to be sold under the interruptible agreement. So you'll have your hand on the throttle of this water volume that we would make available. And with that, Jason, I'm going to let you, unless there's any kind of questions or comments at this point, I'll let Jason talk through the terms of the contract itself.
Good afternoon. The first thing I want to emphasize is what we're doing today will not change any of the current contracts we have right now. Those have been written for a five-year term. We'll continue to write these for five-year terms, but as the short-term contracts expire, we will migrate those contracts holders, if they wish to renew, over to a new contract form, the one you'll adopt today. The main way this contract is different from the current ones we have is the fact that this water is interruptible, and there's it's interruptible really in two ways. The first way is that annual determination that David discussed that the board will make. If the board decides that less water needs to be made available, there's a mechanism in this contract that contemplates a reduction in the annual contracted amount. The second way that this is interruptible is a tie to our stage three drought contingency conditions. Whenever there's a stage three drought, and this comes from a lake level that's in our drought contingency plan right now, whenever a stage three drought is reached, we have the ability to cut water back or stop them from diverting water until such time as the condition is no longer in effect. And finally, I'd like to discuss pricing. The contract gives the board the ability to set an interruptible rate. Right now, we're going to do this at the July meeting along with the system rate, and the current resolution here sets that at $54.50, which is the same as a system rate, but it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to the system rate in any way. It can be adjusted up or down. And that's for $54.50 for non-ag use. And if any questions on the contract?
What's the basis for the price that's set? I know before we were looking at replacement costs on the water system and those buckets that we need to fill. So what are we going to say about this water that has in the past been a varying rate and now it's going to be this new rate?
What this whole process is doing is trying to bring some uniformity and some consistency to what Dave was talking about, two different types of water. I guess it was 2 years ago, we talked to the board about our what we used to call one-year water, which we had historically priced at $6 an acre foot, which when we started looking at that, we thought that really wasn't the appropriate thing to do, especially because of the characteristics of that water. And as we're evolving into looking at it and how it was being used by our customers that were also either buying short-term water and long-term water or using it to avoid the implementation of a contract term that would escalate the price of their water to something more closer to market. As we've gone through this whole process, we've also been running it, this analysis and the creation of this new commodity consistent with our system operation permit, in which we also, as David mentioned, asked for an appropriation of what we call interruptible water, which will give us more flexibility there. Once we have those commodities defined, both firm and what we're now going to call interruptible, what we then are going to try to determine is what the market price of that water is. And if you think about economics, there's actually two ends of the spectrum that interruptible water could take. One is that water bought on a spot basis, which is what interruptible water has traditionally been used at, could be sold at a premium to our customers because it's meeting an immediate need and they have a sense of urgency and therefore they're willing to accept payment of a premium for that commodity. On the other side, because the water is interruptible, you could say that the water should sell at a discount because there is some risk premium that the seller should enjoy because of the fact that, say, in a five-year period of time, and I'm not a hydrologist, and David Wheelock is going to throw a shoe at me probably if I say that, but over that five-year period of time, 100% of the water that they've contracted for, because we style is interruptible and because of the way we source that water, it may not all be available for that five-year period of time. I just told you how to build a watch, and you asked me what time it was, but what we find ourselves in a dichotomy. Under certain constraints, that water should be more expensive than our system rate because it meets a certain need. Under other constraints, it should be less expensive because of the characteristics of that customer. Our initial thoughts are to make it equivalent to our system rate and see what the market tells us in terms of once we make that water available, how many customers do we have for that commodity, and then judge accordingly whether we should put a premium on it or whether we should sell it at a discount. Right now, we're erring to just making it uniform and consistently priced.
I appreciate all that you said, and I think I understand most of it. My reason for my question was we have set a way that we are moving to get our system rate up. We had a methodology for how we did it. If we do this, in my opinion, it is contrary to what we have said.
Actually, this water, because it's extra beyond our firm supply, we will use the income from the sale of this property actually, or this water, to actually subsidize the system rate. It's an assumption of an income stream that when you look at the net financial requirement that we set our system rate against, that net financial requirement, if we sell enough of this water, could go down. Not down to where the rate will be lower, but it will moderate maybe where the rate is if we have sufficient demand for it. And again, then you get into a balancing between the two types of water and how you do make them relative to one another. It's a new product. We're not sure. I'll admit that. And so, again, we figured start at the system rate and see what the market tells us.
Let me make one point. There'll be probably two groups of purchasers of this water. As we said earlier in the presentation, I think David articulated it. We've got two types of water that we currently have that we would view as interruptible. One is the short-term contracts, the other is the 1 year. While the 1 year hasn't been the same rate as the system rate, the short-term has. And so for those customers that are migrating, they're not going to see a differentiation between the price that they were paying before for the short-term as they are now. So the thought was we really had two contract forms for products that were very, very similar. It's just the way the water accounting was done versus what the customer was actually getting. And that became somewhat burdensome and seemed inequitable because we had two different types of contracts with different requirements. So what we're doing is this interruptible contract says very clearly and unequivocally this is, in fact, interruptible water. It puts in the provisions that we need to articulate those facts. The benefit to the one-year folks is that they can get a longer-term commitment for the one-year product. While it is interruptible, from what I understand from talking to David Wheelock, the availability of that water should be there for a period of time. So there's a benefit in having the ability to stretch it out for 5 years. With regard to the short-term folks, effectively, we're not affecting, as Jason said, their current rights, but when they do their next contract, they're going to get this contract form. The difference is it clearly articulates that the water is interruptible, whereas our existing short-term water contracts do not clearly articulate that fact, and it really needs to be clearly articulated because they are two separate pools of water from a water accounting standpoint. So I think the logic from my perspective behind where we got with the cost was after really a lot of debate, at least a good portion of those customers are comfortable with the rate because they've already been paying it. May well be that as we provide this product, depending on, you know, when you pool the two resources together, there's likely going to be more. David's going to talk about amounts here in a few minutes. It may well be that the demand for that product goes down and you need to reevaluate the cost. So we thought of this as a starting point because it was consistent with the, you know, the existing short term.
What, a couple other comments. Yes, sir.
What mechanism do you have to make the decision of who you discount, who you charge more? And how do you quantify it, or is it a subjective decision on precious?
The only customers that we discount currently for long-term firm water.
I'm talking about on your short-term interruptible. You'll make a decision whether to discount or raise the price.
We're still working through that method. Again, it's a product that we've never sold because it's a hybrid between two that we have sold. It's a hybrid between a product that we've sold at our system rate, the 5-year water, and a product that we sold at a discount to the system rate, which was the 1-year water. So the blending, you just don't average those two and come up with an interim rate. We need to look at where it falls in the fabric of our customers.
Or said another way, starting to going to happen to us that we were being wired that were the short-term buyer was wanting water for perpetuity, but he wanted it at a short-term price, or the one-year price. And so this is a way to try to get to blend the two contracts to where they legally put you in a position to where, again, as Laura Lee said.
I understand that, but then you all of a sudden bring in this, so some customers are going to charge, give them a discount on others.
No, sir. We charge a uniform rate to every customer for a certain commodity. We won't charge one person.
Okay.
I apologize. I may have misrepresented that. If we will ask you in July to come back and visit the rate making for not only this commodity, but also our system rate.
My question then is mute because.
Okay. The other thing that I did want to make sure the board understood, you set an ag rate about just under 5 years ago. And what you did, you froze the system rate at that time, and we extended that courtesy to our agriculture customers until such time as we completed our cost of service studies and were ready to propose to you either to continue an ag rate or to abolish the ag rate and take that water back up to the system rate. Under this interruptible methodology that we're talking about right now, we are going to continue the ag rate for those customers that qualify until we come back to you and tell you whether we feel, in our opinion, there should still be a distinction between selling water to agricultural interests versus selling water to other types of customers.
Any other questions?
If I may, I'll go ahead with a recommendation on a determination how much water can be made available under this contract form. And the bulk of the water is based on what we have been using as one-year water, and it has to do with how much has been used in previous years. So we obviously want to protect that quantity of water because it may get used again. And so as things trend upward, there would tend to be less and less water available. So we went back and looked at past 10 years of water use. And then we also have applied a reserve factor to take care of unknowns in the future, like what if next year starts a new drought of record or things like that. So we have a fairly large reserve factor. It's actually at 75%. So there's a lot of water here that is proposed to be protected and not sold. And then in the future years, as our short-term contracts migrate off and expire, then we'll also add in the mathematics here for the sediment pool water into the determination that we bring to you each year. And also, let me say, the availability of the water is location-dependent. Obviously, it needs to be below our reservoirs. Some of our reservoirs do not have the ability to sell this water because they're very fully utilized. Lake Georgetown would be the example of that, or Lake Proctor and Lake Aquila. So in some locations, we don't have any water available. The proposed geographic mix is in your packet. It shows reservoir by reservoir and in the stream segments downstream how much would be available. And then with all that being said, the sum of the availability is 98,994 acre feet. And also I did have was the graphic up there on the screen? I didn't look. Okay, there. That shows the sediment pool that's not fully filled up yet that we're drawing from for that part of water. And then the conservation pool actually is the source of the unused water, which is the bulk of what we're recommending here. And that's water that's sitting there ready to meet significant drought needs. In the years that it doesn't, it sits there in inventory ready to be used, which is what we're proposing to you. So anyway, the number there is 98,994. And I can read the agenda, the resolution when you're ready, or Jason can.
Go ahead and read the resolution, David.
Whereas the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority has determined that water previously sold under the short-term water availability agreement and the one-year water availability agreement contract forms will be consolidated and sold under a new interruptible water availability agreement contract. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby adopts the new interruptible water availability agreement form presented to the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority on January 28, 2008, to replace the short-term water availability agreement and the one-year water availability agreement forms, and Be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby determines that 98,994 acre-feet of interruptible water can be made available for sale in calendar year 2008 under the Interruptible Water Availability Agreement. And be it further resolved by the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority, the General Manager, CEO, is hereby authorized to enter into interruptible water availability agreements for the use of this water and an interruptible water price of $54.50 per acre-foot for calendar year 2008, except for water for agricultural use, as that term is defined in Chapter 11 of the Texas Water Code. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to develop procedures for the sale of interruptible water.
Heard the resolution. Is there a motion? By Sal, is there a second? PJ, on the board, please.
Chairman Pena?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Baker?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Blum?
Yes.
Director Robin?
Yes.
Director Chalmette?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director DeFluid?
Yes.
Yes.
Director
Garcia? Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Stagg?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Thank you.